So let's start there on the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our buddy Frank Schwab, Yahoo Sports, NFL, the Inside Access podcast, and everything else that you need for your NFL fix. Frank, let's start in Big Blue Country. They make the decision today to move on from Brian Daboll. Was it the right move, and were you surprised?
I do think it was the right move. I mean, they probably should have just done this after last season. They gave John Mara, their co-owner, gave such a tepid, you know, the vote of confidence, I guess, going forward to Shane and Daboll, Joe Shane, their general manager. And it made it seem like they didn't want them back. They just kind of felt like, hey, I guess we have to bring them back for another year. And then, you know, you start 2-8, your rookie quarterback gets hurt, and you're showing no signs of really wanting to protect him. The moment for me that really kind of drove it home that Brian Daboll just isn't the right guy for this job anymore in this situation was when he's sitting there week 5, I believe it was, against the Eagles, he's popping his head into the medical tent and then screaming at the team doctor on the sideline, which the cameras saw, asking, like, where's my quarterback? I need my quarterback back. They're trying to make sure he's cleared of a concussion, Brian. Like, are you really looking out for your quarterback, rookie quarterback's health here, or are you looking out for yourself? And I think with some of the play calling, with some of the ways they were putting Jackson Dart in harm's way, it just wasn't a good marriage anymore. They needed to move on right now. And, you know, it'll be one of those openings that I think is pretty attractive that people want. It's still massive media market. If you turn it around quickly there, you know, you're going to get a lot of attention. That'll be a marquee team. And you do have a lot of young talent to work with. So I do think it was the right call to look. A guy goes 20-40-1, he's not going to keep his job very long.
Yeah, we'll deal with that here in just a second as we're talking all things NFL with Frank Schwab of Yahoo Sports, because we got our own problems with a coach who's 20 games under 500. But on the Giants, one more question here. To me, the obvious name for them to go after is Lane Kiffin. Obviously has the success with Jackson Dart, and that is the most important thing for that franchise is continuing his development. I've also heard Bill Belichick with his ties to the organization to come in and steady the ship. Is there another name or two that you think would make sense?
I don't know. I will say this. I don't like the Belichick option. He's going to be 74 next year. Like, this is a rebuilding team. We're seeing what happened with the Raiders hiring Pete Carroll at that age. You just get down, you get halfway into the season, you wonder, what's the end game here? What are we really doing? And Bill Belichick, I got a lot of respect for Bill Belichick, but how long has it been since he's really had a good season? I mean, like, we're talking 6-7 years. 2019, I think, was really his last run of any success with the Patriots. We had one playoff berth after that, but I don't love that option for them. And the Lane Kiffin thing, I don't know. I mean, maybe Lane's better off now to be an NFL coach than he was before, but how often does, like, the college to pro coach thing work? The pro to college thing doesn't work either very often because they're two different sports, basically. So I don't like either of those options. There's a lot of young guys, you know, around the league. Clint Kubiak, I think, is having a great year with the Seahawks. Their offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, even with the Bills. I know that he's under a little bit of fire now, but I don't think that's all his fault. I just think you need to find a young, energetic head coach that can work with the quarterback, bring him along, kind of get on the same page with him and be your guy for the next 10 years. That's the goal anyway, not some short-termer with Belichick or Lane Kiffin because he coached him in college or anything like that. I think you need a more stable foundation than that.
Joe Burrow returns to practice today, says he should be back in just a couple of weeks for the Thanksgiving game. Ravens or Bengals more likely to make the playoff push?
Oh, Ravens by far. I think Ravens going to win that division by mid-September or mid-December. I think they win that division by like 3 games. If you look at who they're competing against, the Steelers are dead. They're done. They're a bad football team right now. And the Ravens, their next 5 games, they should be heavy favorites in all 5 of them. It's not guaranteed that means you're going to win them, but I think Ravens can. I think the Ravens can get on, you know, they've already got 3 wins already in their pocket. I think they can get on an 8-game winning streak and put this division away. Bengals are just a broken football team. Joe Burrow doesn't really fix what ails them, and that's the defense. They got the worst defense in football. And also I worry because Joe Burrow comes back, and what was the question when he got hurt? Oh, are they doing enough to protect him? Are they doing enough to keep him upright, keep him? None of those questions have been answered. There's offensive line still is not very good. I worry they're putting him in harm's way. He wants to come back. He's a tough dude, and I respect that. And they still think they have hope in this playoff race to get back in it. But, man, I just hope nothing bad happens to Joe Burrow. I worry about it because it just seems like he's rushing back to a bad situation.
How surprised are you at what Matt Stafford's doing at 37?
Stunned, because not because Matt Stafford was incapable of it, but you think back to August and all the stories about his back and is he going to be able to make opening day and is he going to last the whole season? And you factor in his age. You're like, oh, is Stafford ever going to be 100% this year? And he's played as well as any quarterback in the league. He's a heck of a player. He's putting a stamp on, you know, that is a Hall of Fame resume. I thought he was going to make the Hall of Fame once they won a ring there in L.A. But now it seems like a lock. And I mean, especially if he wins an MVP, which he seriously could. I believe he's a betting favorite right now to win MVP. It's kind of there's only a few guys left in the race. Even I mean, as of right now, Drake May's in there. Jonathan Taylor, I think, deserves it, but running backs don't win anymore. So yeah, Matt Stafford winning MVP after we spent all of August wondering if he was going to play at all. Like that's a heck of a story, and happy to see it. He's been just a great, great player in the NFL.
All right, let's get to. I put it off long enough. We got ourselves a situation here in Atlanta, Frank. 3-6, lost 4 in a row. Everyone's ire is now at QB1, Michael Penix. He has not played well, but unfortunately, the coaches have not coached well either. Zach Robinson, Raheem Morris not doing him any favors with direct coaching as well as in-game decision-making. What is your bird's eye view of the Falcons from above? What are you seeing going wrong with this team?
Yeah, they might need a reset. They really might. The Zach Robinson offense has been pretty stale. It's been the inconsistency is from the team as a whole. Like one week they look, wow, this team's going to win the NFC South. The next week it's like, you're getting shut out by the Panthers? You're getting boat raced at home by the Dolphins? Like, what's going on here? It's just weird how they're just so up and down. And I think that is reflective of coaching in many ways. And at some point, the results are just the results. Like, what good does it do to try it again? Do you think it's going to get better next year? I don't. Like, it's kind of this was what it is. So, yeah, I think that it'll be interesting. I think that's what the rest of the season is for. I don't really think they're going to jump back in the NFC South race at this point, 3-6. It's not impossible, but I don't see it coming. So the rest of the season is just kind of determining what's good for 2026. I assume Penix is going to be the guy in 2026, but I'd like to see a little bit more, and I'm sure all of Atlanta does too. With Raheem, it's like, okay, you got 7 weeks to save your job here. That's pretty much what it boils down to, I think. It's a messy situation in Atlanta. I know you guys had a lot higher hopes for the Falcons this year than 3-6, and it's been one of those weird seasons too, where it's, you know, bad teams find ways to lose games. So whether it's missing a field goal against the Buccaneers week one, or missing an extra point in a game they could have won at New England, who's a good team, or not being able to close the door on the Colts multiple times in that game. It's just they're kind of a bad football team right now. That's just, it may not be as bad as their record, but they're bad in the fact that they just find ways to lose games.
That's exactly what they do. We got a Monday Night Football game as we're talking with Frank Schwab. Make sure you check him out at Yahoo Sports. Philadelphia at Green Bay. Are you buying Green Bay?
No. I wish I was, because after 2 weeks, I thought this is the best team in the NFL. They just blew out the Detroit Lions week one. They emphatically beat the Commanders week two. They thought, wow, they got Micah Parsons. They've really turned a corner. And since then, I mean, two of the worst losses in the NFL this season are Packers at Browns and Packers losing at home to the Panthers. I mean, those might be the two worst losses in the NFL this season. Last year, they beat everybody they should have beat. Literally, if you look at their schedule, they won every single game they should have won last year and just weren't competitive against the elite teams in the conference. Now they're not even beating the teams they should beat. Like, it's just so lukewarm. And even the games they win, it's like, okay, well, you needed a couple fourth downs to beat the Arizona Cardinals. Good for you. Like, it's just not a team that's impressing me right now. And the talent is there, and I think Matt LaFleur is a good coach. And I don't know what the disconnect is, because I think they should be better than they are. And in some ways, you know, the record's just fine, but if you watch this team week in and week out, especially since week two, it's just not an elite team. It's good. They're fine, but I don't think they're going very far unless something changes in the next few weeks here.
Before I let you go, what do you make of Denver? They're 8-2, but they have all sorts of issues on offense. It depends which team is going to show up. Again, sort of a contender or pretender question.
I don't know what to make of them either. I'm based here. I'm in Colorado. And so, I get obviously a lot of talk about this team. And on one end, I can sit there and tell you they're 8-2, and they're only two losses. no time left on the clock at the Indianapolis Colts, who might be the best team in football, and no time left on the clock at the Los Angeles Chargers, who are a playoff team. They're that close to being undefeated. And so I could tell you that story, but we've all seen the offensive problems. Bo Nix just has taken a step back. There's no way around it. And I know, trust me, people here in Colorado do not want to talk about that. They want to put their heads in the sand and not really address the fact that Bo Nix, who looked like the answer to all their quarterback problems a year ago, has just not replicated that this year. And you expect Sean Payton to fix everything because he's an offensive genius. He really is a great coach, but it hasn't happened. So I don't know. I don't know what to make of the Broncos. There's a game coming up against the Chiefs on Sunday, which, for all intents and purposes, could knock out the Chiefs out of the AFC West race. Like, you get to a point, they'd be 3.5 games back with 7 games to go if they lose that game. But do I trust the Broncos to put up enough offense to win that game? I don't know that I do. We saw Thursday's game. It was terrible. So I don't know. The Broncos are absolutely a confounding team to me. I could tell you a story where they're absolutely a Super Bowl contender. I could tell you a story where they're an absolute fraud at 8-2. And I think I could make evidence to make both points right.
Frank, appreciate the time. As always, we'll chat soon, and we'll make sure we'll check out your work at Yahoo Sports.
Absolutely. I appreciate it.